This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Sun Belt Commissioner Keith Gill, and I listen to the Fun Belt Podcast.
This is the Fun Belt Podcast, part of the Believe Network.
Folks, to Dusty Thibodeau of Warhawk Report, Jeremy Harper of Howlraiser, and Shane Metlin of the Daily News Record.
I think it's potentially a very good week for the Sun Belt.
But I'm just kind of going off on a random rant. It's just frustrating. It's
So guys, do you use Bet Online to to make all your wagers, your brackets, all your picks this time of year?
Because I do.
It's officially March Madness, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I actually do use Bet Online. It's a nice simple interface for me.
Yeah, I have not taken the plunge yet. I guess now's as good a time of any to take the plunge to Bet Online. Use the promo code Believe BLEAV for the 50% welcome bonus. So Shane, you owe me some money there for something.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
I already put 20 rocks down on JMU to beat those bastards from Wisconsin. So I'm counting on James Madison to make me a little money. The tournament is here. You know what tournament I'm talking about, and Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season. With the best bracket contest out there, with odds, lines, and info on every game and every roundup right up until the national championship. You know what national championship we're talking about. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline and get in all the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Bastards, huh? That's harsh.
Well, they beat Arkansas State at the beginning.
They did. Yeah. I started looking at the common opponents.
Yeah.
Which is Arkansas State and Michigan State. And
yeah.
Yeah, they did a little bit better. Like, they did slightly better than JMU against a common opponent. So, yeah. I don't know if that means anything.
I don't know what that means. But I saw that Michigan State got in. I was a little surprised because everybody seemed to complain and moan and groan about Michigan State all year. But they got in. Yeah, I guess we're happy to see that. Not the multi-bid year that we were hoping for, Dusty.
It was in the C-level tournaments on the women's side, though, Jeremy. I know that's not exactly what we wanted, no. But hey, we got four teams on the women's side dancing in the WNIT, which is the most confusing tournament ever.
Yeah.
Because the WNIT is a C-level tournament, yes, whereas the NIT, you know, the second tier tournament of the NCAA is the WBIT. And it's just, it makes my head explode every time I hear it.
And the WNIT was the second tier tournament until this year,
when the NCAA decided to start running their own tournament again. Yes.
And we saw how well the NCAA ran their tournament when they announced the field and then find out their number one seed decides they don't want to play after all, after it's already been announced.
When did this happen?
This is how JMU got the one overall.
Yes. Yes. So JMU was not in the field. They were the last team out. And then after they announced the field, Miami drops out.
Oh, so they just
moved JMU into the number one seed spot.
Nice. Well played.
Yeah.
I do like how the men's NIT went all this trouble to bend over backwards so they can get more P6 guys into their tournament. P4, P5, P6. It's really become really hard to know. It's really hard to make that distinction. Whatever the case is, Dusty, I just like their response, which was fuck off.
That's what everybody was telling the NIT, exactly.
Yeah.
Because how inconvenient is it that the portal opens when you have the opening round of the NIT? So you got to go out and recruit to try to land your roster for next year. But at the same time, I'm jumping in the NIT, the PDQ, the everything else, because guess what? As long as we're playing games, my players can't jump in the portal to leave me for next year.
Yeah, but they can. I think that's probably what they're most worried about, is the embarrassment of like showing up getting into the NIT and then finding out you only have seven guys to play with because your guys did jump into the portal.
Yeah, I think that is kind of funny. But
or they opt out.
It was also funny kind of listening to like the Memphises of the world, like coach. Oh gosh. Who's the coach at Memphis?
Penny.
Hardaway. Yeah. Penny Hardaway. He was like, nah, man, we're not going to the NIT. I'm like, you're Memphis.
Well, how bad is it also that Rick Pitino at St. John says, I never want to hear the words net again, because net mean nothing. Dude, who are you? I don't even know what conference you're in, but it doesn't really matter because you probably didn't play anybody to boost that net. You need to take a page out of the Sun Belt and try to get that cross league tournament going in season so that you can boost your net and get your ass into the dance.
Yeah, listen to Rick Pitino kind of bitch and moan after like a few weeks after calling his team unathletic and soft. And now bitching that his team isn't in. That's kind of funny to me. But,
They were athletic and not soft.
But Wisconsin, Shane, you guys get Wisconsin. Or I'm not going to say you guys. As an impartial reporter, as impartial Sun Belt people, James Madison belongs to all of us now, Dusty. So Viva La Dukes, right, Shane?
Doesn't have the same ring as Viva La Bobcat.
It does not. But what are we looking at? You're traveling to New York. You're going to the first game. Are you excited?
I am. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Good experience. There's a place near Barclays Center that I went to several years ago. I'm curious to see if it's still there.
Okay.
Really good Mexican food. That was pre-COVID though. So I honestly don't know if it's still there, but
it might be gone.
No, I mean, get up there. Mm-hmm. Duke's in the other game. I think that'll be fun. See the Blue Devils up close, and maybe we get Duke versus Dukes in the second round if things break right.
Did they set it up to where it could be a double Duke?
If they both win the first round, it will be. They should have just put Duquesne in that same bracket.
That's right. Just gone all out. Yeah.
And then we need Tubby from the Duke's Mayo Bowl to show up.
Yeah, to round it all out, to seal it up like a nice bow.
Circle of life.
I feel like we're going to get Duke versus Dukes in the Duke's Mayo Bowl at some point. That's just a no-brainer.
I think that if you follow the marketing cash, it's got to happen, right? So are people in Harrisonburg, are they happy with the 12 seed? I know there was talk of an 11 seed, but 12 seed's pretty good for Sun Belt. What were you thinking? Or what are the fans thinking?
I think the general consensus is, yeah, we should have been up around the 11 line if you're a JMU fan. But the 12 where they are looks pretty good. They got a good location. They got maybe a decent draw. Like, Wisconsin's been so up and down. I think if you catch them on one of their down days, like, that's a very winnable game. And there's a reason why it's like 12 getting to the Sweet 16 almost every year, is because sometimes that path just opens up for you. You know, if there's another upset, or, you know, you don't, if you win, you're not facing a one seed or a two seed, like if you're a 9 or a 10. And so, like, 12's not a bad place to be, even though when you look at how they ranked all 68 teams, it's kind of hard to look and say, why is Duquesne ahead of James Madison? Why is Grand Canyon ahead of that? Like, it's kind of hard to figure out, but, like, I think they could be a little bit offended, but also say, hey, this is a decent path. This is the best path we could probably have.
Yeah, so it's just forget about being offended and work on being Wisconsin. Everybody healthy? Everybody ready?
I think so. They seemed healthy Sunday night. We'll see. I'll get to watch practice with the NCAA tournament. That's one of the great things, is you get to go see them practice. Like, it's open.
You're going to go do that? You going to sit in and watch?
Yeah, I'll be up there Thursday for – they have practice and press conferences and all that stuff. And Thursday, and then a late night on Friday when they don't tip till 9:40 Eastern time.
All right. Now, Dusty, did we outfit this guy with Funbelt Podcast merch? Does he have the T-shirt, the sweatshirt, the hat, the snow goggles, the parka, the satchel? Does he have all that?
He got a tattoo.
That'd be nice.
All right. Should order a shirt and have it sent to New York. Pick it up there.
That would be perfect. So have you gotten anybody from, like, any of the national news media, like the big wigs, wanting to know more about the Dukes, wanting you to come onto their podcast, or maybe a few quotes in the USA Today or something like that?
No, not nationally. Mark Byington's handling all the national
media. Oh, screw that.
I've been on with some Wisconsin places.
Yeah. Yeah,
and if you happen to be listening to sports radio in La Crosse, Wisconsin, tomorrow afternoon on Tuesday afternoon, you might catch me. So
now, do they sound like Wisconsin guys? Is it stereotypical cheese eating guys, beer drinking?
So far, no.
All right, I want to see the stereotypes. So, all right, so Dusty, that's our lone representative in the NCAA, except for the women. We got Marshall in the women's bracket. Where are the rest of us? Can you kind of give us the lowdown on where else the Sun Belt might be showing up?
Slim pickets on the men's side. Obviously, JMU in the NCAA tournament. Okay. App State, the regular season champion. They weren't the automatic qualifier, but they do get a bid into the NIT to play Wake Forest.
Ooh.
And then the only other men's team, Red Wolves, are headed to the beach, Daytona Beach, to play in the sea level, the CBI, as they play the local Bethune-Cookman in an opening round game on Flow Sports. Available at any gas station near you.
Dusty, you know my admiration for CBI, my long, deeply held belief that CBI is the best basketball in all of college basketball. You know that. I've said that on this show 1,000 times if I said it once.
I just want to know, Jeremy, do you even know who the sponsor of the CBI is?
I have no idea.
It's Roe. Do you know what Roe is?
No, I don't know what that is.
It is a male enhancement. Thus, Jeremy, you should really be getting up for the CBI tournament.
I am a hardcore fan now. Yes.
And yet they won't allow, like, the, you know, Sailor Jerry's rumble or anything like that. But we can have the Roe CBI.
But if it's about getting the old erection going, then you can have that. Okay, well, wow, I'll be looking forward to that. But what about the women? Isn't there a tournament that the women are representing?
We are. Okay. We have the Thundering Herd. Mm-hmm. They are in the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. Go Herd.
As the AQ. Believe they drew the 11 seed.
Nice.
Overall. In the NIT, we have James Madison, the top overall seed.
Nice.
By default in the WBIT. And then in the WNIT, which is the equivalent of the CBI, four Sun Belt Conference teams, Troy, okay. Old Dominion, ULM, Southern Miss.
Wow.
Obviously, I have a lot of rooting interest in there, a lot of intrigue in that bracket and the way it shakes out. We could actually have a Sun Belt matchup in the Final Four for a chance to play somebody else on the other side of the bracket.
That would be a horrendously entertaining thing to watch. But, you know, you got to feel good about your Warhawks, right?
You do. You just got to hope that things play out the right way. They did get a first round bye as one of the top 16 seeds. So they now await to see who wins out of Grambling State and Oral Roberts. The hope is that Grambling can somehow pull off the miracle, get the win, and come to Fant Ewing Coliseum. If not, it is very likely that the Warhawks and first-year head coach Missy Bilderback will be headed to Tulsa to take on Oral Roberts.
Well, looking forward to seeing all those teams participate, compete, and win. I have some bad news for you guys. One of our favorite players of all time, Izzy Higginbottom, she has put her name into the transfer portal. She is no longer with the Red Wings.
Is she going to Iowa?
I don't know. Maybe she's going to take Caitlin Clark's place. I don't know. You know, she did the thing. You know, she got onto the social medias and put out her little graphic and said, you know, thanks for all the support and all the love in Jonesboro. But she's moving on, and it was kind of sad. And I think half the team, more than half the team, is leaving Arkansas State. So it's the transfer portal makes everything kind of sad and awkward. We're just trying to get over that.
So when we look at these brackets overall, who has the best chance to go the furthest on the men's or women's side?
In every bracket?
Sure.
Gosh,
I'd have or to... overall. Like the way the bracket shakes out for the WNIT, Troy and Old Dominion actually have pretty good paths to try to advance there. ULM, a decent path there. If they can potentially get that game at home, I think that gives them the advantage. Southern Miss, I just don't see where they can advance beyond that first round game in the WNIT. That's just my thoughts. On the men's side, I don't see a win anywhere across the board except for Arkansas State, where I will be fueling my car up and checking out all the action.
Well, if you looked at the CBI, you do find some, I don't know, rather not obscure. I mean, you get the Cleveland States of the world. You have the High Points of the world. I think High Point is the number one seed. But there's a good chance Arkansas State gets through a lot of this tournament and does pretty well. So I know that I've been down on in the past on CITs and CBIs and all these other teams, but I will be really looking forward. I will be really pleased if the Red Wolves do well. I think, though, guys, just call me a homer. You can call me sentimental. You can call me a romantic. You can call me all those. No. Call me handsome. You can call me brilliant.
No.
I think James Madison has a pretty good shot at one upsetting Wisconsin, because I feel like Wisconsin is beatable. And two, if they should end up meeting the Dukes, I feel like they match up with the Dukes. I have to admit, I feel like JMU Dukes are one of the better teams that we've put into the tournament in some time. I'm not going to ask Shane this because it's unfair to ask Shane this. Dusty, do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, it's definitely the best team since Western Kentucky went on that wild run, I think, that made it to the Sweet 16. So it's definitely been a while. I know everyone's going to remember the Georgia State team and the miracle of RJ Hunter hitting the game-winning shot. But, yeah, this is definitely the top-to-bottom best team that we've had out of the Sun Belt since, you know, Courtney Lee's era at Western Kentucky.
Very nice, yeah. Yeah, you know, I think JMU has the size. I think, you know, just watching them play against Arkansas State, Shane, I mean, they were making some shots that were just good, mature shots, you know, shots that a good, mature team makes. I just felt like they were just on a roll, like they were really playing with some synergy. It's got to carry over to New York, right?
If they shoot like they did against Arkansas State, they can win. I don't know that they will shoot that well. That was an incredible shooting performance. Like you said, just taking good shots, but also like they hit some heat checks too at some points during that game. And, you know, I don't know if you can count on that, but if they're shooting around 40% from three, I think they have a chance against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a little bit bigger, but they don't block a ton of shots like App State does. I don't know. I mean, one thing I'll say is like, having been a voter in the AP top 25.
What a hook. Okay. All right.
Go
ahead.
Name dropper.
Feel like Shane, Shane, but go ahead. Have your moment.
The thing that I noticed is like, you know, I'm trying to figure out who that like 24th, 25th team is going to be each week. And it's a long list of like who you're considering.
Yeah.
And I think this could be a crazy tournament because there's three really, really good teams in the country. And then there's maybe five after that that are kind of the next level. Yeah. And then it's like the next 70 are all about the same. And I think people are going to be like, holy crap, McNeese State's actually good. Like, yeah, they're actually good. Like, you know, they're not that much different than the middle of the pack SEC team.
I feel like there's a lot of teams out there, a lot of these smaller mid-major teams that a lot of – high 20 win teams are really interesting to watch. Have you guys ever won a bracket? Either one of you?
I used to win it a lot when I was a kid, actually.
What happened?
I don't know.
You grew up. Yeah.
My grandpa would always come in, and I'd actually make some money when I was like 12.
Yeah, you can come out with that 30 or 40 bucks.
I'd usually get top three. Okay. Because I was able to pick the mid-major games that people were like, I have no idea who McNeese or St. Mary's or at the time Gonzaga or anyone like that was. So I was able to clean up and get those upsets way back in the day.
Yeah, I think that's where my strength always was in those, is those early rounds. You know, you pick those little upsets. And then once, you know, the real, you know, the big wigs start getting in there, then I'd start placing with my heart instead of my mind. And all of a sudden Creighton's up there winning the whole thing. But yeah, I guess I feel like I'm a little like Shane. I felt like when I was younger, I was winning these things, but the older I get, it's like the least predictable it becomes. And maybe that's because boutique schools have become better and better as the years have gone by.
Yeah. There's a lot more information available. It used to be like, if you were the hardcore basketball fan, you were kind of on your own, like, you know, if you knew that the Manhattan Jaspers had a big transfer from somewhere, like that was inside information. Now everybody's got that stuff before they even fill out the bracket.
Yeah. It's a little like fantasy football. Everybody's got the information now. There's no insider information. There's no working hard to achieve even, you know, topsoil information. It's all there. It's all prepackaged for you. So yeah, it's kind of hard to win. Are you going to try? Are they doing that win $1 million if you get the perfect bracket thing again? I think CBS might be doing it.
Probably.
All right. Okay. Dusty, you getting into a bracket this year?
I got one at the office trying to win a Pelican cooler.
Now, are guys from the cybersecurity world community, are they good at prognosticating basketball?
No, but a lot of them are very analytical.
Okay.
And so they will crunch the numbers like there's no tomorrow.
Now, Shane, I know that you're in the journalism community. I'm sure you guys are all in some sort of pool, right?
Yeah, I'll get into something. My family usually does one, like family and friends, and I'll sign up for something. But I haven't, honestly, I've been trying to figure out how to get to Brooklyn, so I haven't looked at the whole bracket that much yet.
Wait, are you one of these guys that are constantly like, yeah, I will have filled in my bracket by now, but I'm too busy preparing to go to the NCAA tournament.
That's exactly what I am right now.
Now, are they making you drive, or do you get to fly?
I'm going to drive. It's not that bad of a drive.
Right. Okay.
So in the big picture, who are you taking for your national title, Jeremy Shane?
You know what? I you're going to like this pick, Dusty. I got Houston going all the way. I picked them several weeks ago when they weren't number one, when they were a little bit lower, and I just like how fast they play. And I got Houston. Houston, I you know what? I went on betonline.com and made a bet for Houston. So I'm looking forward to winning that dough.
I was going to say Houston, but now I'll say UConn because it was kind of it was close. I think it's one of those two is the favorite. Purdue. There's three teams. Purdue's also better than the rest of the field, but I just don't trust them in the tournament.
Is North Carolina State or no, not North Carolina State? North Carolina is North Carolina the bust that I have in my mind? Are they? They seem like the first of the four that are going to tank.
I think it's possible. I don't know. They've been just kind of weird over the last couple of years, haven't they? Like they have a season where they're not very good, and then they go to the national championship game, and then you know they're picked number one preseason the next year, and they are mediocre, and then nobody expects that much from them this year, and now they're getting a good season out of them. I never know what to expect from Hubert Davis, North Carolina teams.
My brother used to have one piece of wisdom for filling out the bracket. And it's a piece of wisdom that I use to this day. Never count on Georgia Tech. Don't count on them to go deep into, no matter how highly seeded they are. Don't count on Georgia Tech.
That's easy enough when they don't make the tournament.
Yeah, when they're on the tournament, it's easy. It's
oh, they turned it down. Yeah.
Oh.
They didn't want to be there. They made sure of that, dating all the way back to September, that they were turning it down.
Okay, now, have you guys been following the Sun Belt comings and goings for the transfer portal? Shifting gears a little bit. Shane, have
only from some guy on Twitter that constantly writes about it.
I love the transfer portal when it's not my guys. So here's some names that have come up, guys. So some just
Nor
some,
Chad O'Meara.
No, that was last year. Yeah, that broke. No, that was the year before last year. There's some pretty big names, guys. Joe Charles out of Louisiana. There's Brandon Love out of Texas State. You know, he was a big reason why Texas State did so well in the tournament. Almost took out the Dukes as a result. You know, Georgia State's Luca Taylor, I believe he was their leading scorer. He's in the transfer portal. And then a highly touted freshman guard, Mashawn Ouellette from Old Dominion, he's in there. So there's some pretty good names in here. But, you know, it's not a huge amount. Not a huge amount of guys that have gone in yet. I feel like we've got to wait a few more days to see what comes in. But for now, it's been interesting to look at.
Another big one out of Texas State is their guard, Jordan Mason.
Yes.
Also dropping his name.
Yeah.
And Sykes, he was good for them too. Like
Sykes,
Texas State's the one I look at where it's like, man, they could have had a good team if they had brought these guys back. The rest of them, you either expected it or you know one guy maybe or I don't know. Jacob Meyer from Coastal, you kind of had to expect that was going to go. He's really good, and they got a coaching change there. You mentioned Ouellette from ODU, he was. You know, kicked off the team midway through. Like that was a surprise. But he's super talent, so it'll be interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, and the program that has absorbed the most attrition here has been Marshall. You know, Cam Crawford, Pete Moe, Chase Mokey, Americ Toussaint. I don't know if these guys are household names or stars, but that's four guys right off the bat. So
it's kind of interesting. Yeah. It does seem like they might bring back Anna Chile Killen and Nate Martin and have a little bit of a core. I mean, it was going to be a rebuild for Marshall, like just the guys they were going to lose from graduation and everything. Yeah. So I think they were probably planning on hitting the portal themselves pretty hard.
So once James Madison and Appalachian State, they come home, presumably after winning trophies, the NIT and the NCAA, will we see guys from Boone and Harrisonburg jump in?
I think it might depend on what their coaches decide to do.
Yeah, I think it depends on if Kearns and Bidenton are coming back for next year.
Ooh.
We have seen the coaching carousel already start spinning for Sunbelt Conference, mostly on the women's side.
Okay.
With App State women's basketball head basketball coach Angel Elderkin out.
Okay.
Been there for 10 years.
Hmm.
And then 5 years, and Anita Howard is out at Georgia Southern. No men's coaches, though, have left the building yet.
Well, I guess we'll just have to see. You know, there's been some, like, kind of rumors that there were a couple guys that might be on the outs. We've heard rumblings out of Texas State, out of the Warhawks. We've heard those kind of rumblings, but haven't seen any of that come to fruition. So that's interesting, but hasn't really happened, especially at Texas State with all the losses that they're taking on the portal. You kind of wonder if they're going to make a change.
I think TJ sandbags the regular season so he can make a great run in Pensacola. He loves the beach.
Oh, man. All right. Do we have some baseball to talk or are we done?
Well, here's another thing that I wanted to talk with y'all about.
Oh, is it
what are your thoughts?
You know, that happens to a lot of guys. It happens to Shane. And it probably happens to you, Dusty. It's okay. You know, a lot of it's mental. It's a lot of maybe taking to some vitamins, maybe get some fresh air, maybe not look at too much porn, and you'll be okay.
Some row.
Yes.
And on that note.
Okay.
What are your thoughts? You know, the big conversation throughout all of these conference tournaments, ADs, it seemed like they were going in the huddle to fire coaches mid-game, it seemed like. I mean, most of them were right after they lost and they were on their way out. But is that the right time, right when your team loses, whether it be the regular season or even after the conference tournament? Because if you look at Long Beach State, they fired their coach after the end of the regular season, but said, ah, you can coach the tournament. He's going dancing now.
I know. Isn't that wild? You know that the AD is like kind of slapping his head a little bit on that. You know, I always thought that was cruel. I don't know what you think about that, Shane, but it's always kind of cruel when a team gets a huge loss and the AD comes and has a private conversation with them at the corner of the field and you find out they were fired on the spot. It just seems really harsh. It seems like the best time to fire somebody would be a couple days after the season, make it private, have a little press conference, everybody leaves on good terms. Is there a reason, Shane, why you just like, unless it is to fire up your boosters, to sort of humiliate your coach like that?
I don't know what the reason is. Like, to make them go to the press conference right after a game to do it. I don't. Wow. I mean, you're not getting a jump on hiring somebody like at 10 o'clock at night after a game, are you? I mean, I don't understand it at all. Why couldn't it wait till you get back to campus the next morning?
Another thing that puzzles me, too, is that Long Beach State situation where you fire somebody, but then you say you can continue coaching through the tournament and then pack your bags and get out. I just know from just the private sector working at places, you don't fire some guy and then say, well, you take your time. You know, you can be here for a couple weeks and, you know, get your footing out of it. You don't do that. You say you got to go. You got to go now before you kind of poison everything around you. Why would you let this person continue to coach, Dusty?
Maybe you didn't have a plan or you didn't expect them to do as well as they did in the conference tournament is probably what it was. That, yeah, you can coach one more game, sure, no problems. And then you keep getting that one more game until you're hoisting hardware and trying to make travel arrangements to go to the tournament. But I'll tell you, the one that I felt the worst for was the women's coach at Utah State.
Yes.
Where there was nothing. And the guy was like, you know, oh, it was a tough loss, coach, but how do you kind of rebuild? And she kind of handled it like a champ. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's a good foundation, but whoever it is going to have their hands full because I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. And why trot her out there?
I mean, yeah.
What was the point of that? Did they think that she was just going to answer the questions and then secretly skulk away? I don't know. That's just a weird thing. That's just bad management, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to the press conferences where, like, you know they're going to get fired next week or whatever, and everybody knows, and that's awkward. It's not fun. That sucks too, but, like, I don't know. At least it's not like, yeah, you're fired and go do the last part of your job here for the next 20 minutes in front of everybody.
But Jeremy, wasn't Joe Hollis the Arkansas State coach fired at halftime?
There is a rumor that he was fired at halftime. I don't know. I cannot substantiate that. I thought that was pretty wild. You know, Jack Crow out of Arkansas, he got fired after the first game of the season for getting beaten by what's that military school? It's not
VMI.
No, it's
the Citadel.
Yeah, the Citadel. They got beat by the Citadel on opening day. They got rid of them that that evening. I mean, after one game. I guess you don't lose to the Citadel, but yeah, I always felt like you gotta be a little more classy with your hirings and firings. I know at Arkansas State, when a coach is having some problems, they want that person fired immediately. You know, don't let him even get off the court. And I was like, man, you gotta be a little more delicate with that. You gotta show a little bit more class.
You're also trying to make it a welcoming place for the next person. Like,
sometimes I don't know, like, how a Texas A&M or a school like that hires people, because it always ends up just horrible for the coach.
Yeah, I mean, however many hundreds of millions of dollars makes it worth it, I guess. But would you go be the women's basketball coach at Utah State for $100,000 or whatever it is to, like, get humiliated like that? Like,
I'd rather be the hand at Westeros than be the new head coach at Utah State. Yeah, that was not handled well at all.
On the diamond, Jeremy, as you said.
I was trying to lead us into the diamond, yes.
Two undefeated, two winless teams, one of which is going to surprise you.
Okay.
South Alabama with a weird series over the weekend with a bunch of start stops against Georgia State because of weather. I think that impacted them. And they fell in all three games 0-3.
Man.
So Georgia State, Southern Miss with the sweet Jimmy Buffett powder blue uniforms to come out in a controversial win where maybe he was blocking the plate.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe he wasn't against Marshall. But that was the difference for the clean sweep for the Eagles.
Oh, well, good for the Eagles. I believe the Eagles and the Shants are the two top-ranked teams for baseball, the Baseball USA poll. I think they're the Sun Belt ranked teams. So good for them. I hear good things about James Madison, Shane. I even saw the Georgia Southern Twitter account kind of groan and moan about the Dukes being good at baseball. Is that true? Are they actually good?
We'll see. The RPI is up there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know what? They went down to Conway this weekend.
Yeah.
And that was a hell of a series. They the rubber match on Sunday went to 13 innings, I think, before Coastal got the runs in the bottom of the 13th to win it, take the series 2-1. But, you know, they looked pretty evenly matched with the Shants. So we'll see.
We'll see if they hold on. Dusty, who else is looking good this year?
I thought Arkansas State looked pretty good there against Louisiana Lafayette, able to get the opener on Friday before falling in the first two games. They look good on Friday. Maybe they don't have the depth to compete for the full weekend, but definitely at least for one night of the week.
Yeah,
I think the Red Wolves are going to have a pretty good club.
A-State has the bats. They can put up runs. They have no pitching. So in that second game, no, I guess maybe it was the third game. No, it was the second game. They were up by four runs with two innings left and end up losing by one at the end there. So they gave up five runs in two innings. So yeah, the pitching's not there. So who else is looking good?
I thought Troy looked pretty good.
Yeah.
With timely hitting and just playing smart overall baseball to beat the Warhawks there. Warhawks had a lot of blunders, but truthfully, I think a lot of it was because they were kind of pressing a little bit, trying to make the most out of any hit or any runner that they had on the base paths. So they pressed a little bit. The gambles didn't pay off. It did pay off for one of the wins on the doubleheader on Saturday. Again, a shortened series due to weather. I don't know what to think overall of that series, though. I will say this. Marshall hung with Southern Miss, so I don't think they're as bad as their 0-3 conference record is. But I still don't see enough for them to really rise to the top in the conference standings.
How's your Warhawks doing?
1-2, just like the Red Bulls.
Good. All right. I just asked. I don't know. Yeah, just making sure.
Did I not just talk about the Warhawks being 1-2 in a
series? I think it was mentioned.
Was it mentioned? Okay. I just wondered. You know what? I've had a cold. I don't feel great. I'm not on top of my game. Maybe you guys want to talk
about pressure issues from taking all that row.
It's all my blood pressure is now concentrated in one place, one 9-inch place.
His feet. On the softball diamond, no surprise. It's the Raging Cajuns, flawless 3-0. I think they're up to like 84 games straight in conference series that they've won.
Mm-hmm.
South Alabama, Georgia State, 0-3 on the early season. A lot of teams, though, 2-1, including Marshall, ULM, Troy, and Texas State. Arkansas State continues to be left off the standings. They're so bad.
You know, actually, they're just so good. They're playing on another level, Dusty, that you can't see. It's like invisible chess. I'm really Jane, depressed.
What can we expect out of JMU early on in softball? Were you impressed with it, or is it still too early to tell?
A little too early to tell. They're okay. They're a little bit young. You know, a lot of freshmen, sophomore, you know, kind of round out the order and the pitching staff. So we'll see. They got a pretty impressive win against Texas State to salvage a win in that series this weekend. Walk-off homer against Mullins, the pitcher from Texas State, is just lights out. And they were able to get the walk-off homer against her in the eighth inning. She pitched seven really, really good innings. This is an All-American caliber pitcher. So Texas State, I'm impressed with them. I think it's somewhat impressive JMU was able to steal a game in that series.
And that's what we have.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else before we go into plugs, promos, and parting shots?
Shane, why don't you tell us when JMU suits up?
Yeah, they take the floor to play at 9:40 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh,
God. Or
what is that, like 3?
That's 8:40 America time, as we say on this podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, but it'll be a late night in Brooklyn. On CBS, though, with the A-plus crew calling it.
Vern
Lundquist.
Okay. Yeah. We'll be all in on that. Dusty, when does Marshall tee off?
I just closed that tab.
Yes, I flummoxed Dusty, and it won't be edited out either. I will put the crickets sound effects underneath as we wait painfully for you to open up.
I'd rather the Jeopardy.
I don't know if I have that. I don't think I have the rights.
They are playing Friday afternoon at 3:30. Doesn't say what time zone. It's probably Eastern.
Okay. All right. So
against number 4 Virginia Tech.
All right. And I'll try to, like, I don't know, purchase some sort of strange combo package so I can watch my Arkansas State Rifles play in the CBI. But no. Yeah. So I think we're ready, Dusty. I think we're ready for promos, plugs, and parting shots, right?
That wasn't the plug.
Start us off there, Jeremy.
No, that was no, Shane. You're going to have to come up with something.
That was my plug.
My plug is, which I've been plugging all damn show, is to check out the transfer portal comings and goings for the Sun Belt. Check it out. See who's leaving, who's staying. Last year, I also posted on Twitter last year's portal movements from Sun Belt basketball. And I think if you look at it, if you study it, you'll see that the grass isn't always greener just by jumping into the portal. A lot of guys not picked up. A lot of guys drop down a little bit. So, you know, before you jump in, Sun Belt athletes, make sure you got a place to go. And maybe that place to go is right where you already are. And that's my parting shot in promo, Dusty.
Mine's going to be former Sun Belt Conference member UT Arlington,
ooh,
where they did what you typically do in basketball, but no one ever calls it out.
Okay.
On a fast break after a turnover, the guy goes for the dunk.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is showboating going up the floor and gets a good old chump bump, followed by the guy inbounding the ball, slamming it off the back of the guy. You know, with the spoilers go the victors, and, you know, yes, Grand Canyon is in the dance, but UTA won the battle. They won the war. You don't do that shit late in the game.
You know what, Dusty? I agree with that. I can't stand that kind of showboating. But then I'm also like, isn't the onus of the other team to prevent that from happening by playing a decent game? Shane, agree with me on this.
To some degree. That's not where I thought the UTA, you know, parting shot was going.
Oh.
I thought maybe we were going to mention another Sun Belt team. Mm-hmm. And that every year since Texas Arlington has fired Scott Cross, they've had a worse record than the year that they fired him. Meanwhile, yeah, four straight 20 win seasons for, or three straight, whatever it is, for Scott Cross, gets an extension, always has them competitive at Troy. What were you doing, Texas Arlington?
So here's the other thing I have to say on this, because we didn't bring it up. Yes, we love some Scott Cross. We love that he gets a 4-year extension. He hangs around the league another 4 years. The tweet was sent out, but then we lose the restaurant concept of the crossover. If you know nothing else about Scott Cross, that dude loves him some Whataburger and Waffle House. Wow. And I have always said that he is going to retire and open a restaurant called the Crossover, where they serve Whataburger and Waffle House 24/7.
Oh, that would be too powerful.
I mean, if Nick Saban can have his car dealerships while he's still coaching, like, why can't Scott Cross have a restaurant?
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody even asked, what was the worst Sun Belt move? Was it either FIU or FAU? I forget which, FA or IU, getting rid of Crystal Ball, or UTA? Yeah, it was FIU. Okay. Or was it UTA getting rid of Scott Cross? It's got to be Scott Cross, right? I mean, that guy was a solid coach at UTA, inexplicably let go, goes over to Troy, and just has success after success. So it's pretty crazy.
Shane, what else do you have?
That was it.
God, Shane.
That was my warning shot. You inspired it.
Shane has gotten so lazy since he's been on his way to the NCAA tournament. It's just embarrassing, Dusty.
That's, you know, a what pretty that is? Starting shot.
That's the crossover.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.